So pleased to welcome once again Quincy School Superintendent Rick DeCristofaro to chat with us about the very latest developments with the Quincy Public School System as it relates to this coronavirus crisis. Rick, great to see you again.
Yeah, nice to see you, Joe. Hope you're well. You look well. That's a good thing, kid. I want to thank you for having me on to share some of the things that are going on right now in the Quincy Public Schools. And things are just so different. You know, today we started our remote learning, and it felt like the first day of school, except no one was here, you know, in my office or at the school. So very, very different, very strange paradigm shift. But I wanted to start, if I could, by thanking you, of course, Quincy Access Cable, and thanking really our parents. Our parents of our students have been incredibly patient. We've given them a lot of sites to visit, a lot of things to do with their children, but we're the teachers, you know. So, you know, that was then, and now we're transitioning into far more of our teachers formally being involved with our kids. Before, it was much more informal, and a ton of teachers were reaching out, and that's what we love, our guidance people, you know, reaching out. So that was a good thing, but now it's a little bit different. So I appreciate the patience. I also appreciate our leadership team here that's really done a great job, our principals that are managing everything, our educators, of course. Mayor Koch and the school committee, we had a meeting last week, a short meeting of about 3 hours, to talk really about a lot of things. They had a lot of questions, and they get them from parents, and they want to be able to facilitate as much communication as possible. So we did that. Anthony Andronico chaired that meeting, which we very much appreciate. So we talked last time about our nutrition sites and the great things we're doing there with breakfast and lunch. And they're called Grab and Go. And so right now we started with 4 sites, and now we're up to 8 school sites. And we've served probably over 8,000 breakfast lunch packets, wow. You know, combined breakfast lunch packets. So the participation is growing as we go forward. With the 8 sites, of course, you get more. But all our sites, there's a lot of participation at those sites.
That's great. Let me think now. It's both high schools. It is the Lincoln Hancock, the Snug Harbor School. You have the Parker. You have the Montclair. And I'm missing one. Clifford
Marshall.
Is this
Marshall. A test now? It just has to see which one. Yeah. Yeah. So, Athen and Howe, I don't know if you mentioned Athen and Howe.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's the 8th. So you had them right on the mark, except for that one, Joe. But yeah, the people, the parents are very, very appreciative of it, you know, and going, you know, of course, along with that is the educational learning packets, which again, you know, are translated, the directions are translated in Spanish, Portuguese, and Chinese. And we've given so many of those at every site. So we're expanding what we do as we expand the lunch and breakfast. The packets expand as well. Beginning this week, it's Tuesday and Thursday at all of these sites.
Okay.
From 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock. So I sent an instant alert yesterday on that, but you're the people that listen, the public, maybe they would, you know, be reinforced or get that news.
Sure, sure. And these are, anybody can get these meals, Rick, is that right?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no limit. I mean, if people come and they need to take 2 or 3 because the other kids aren't with them or whatever, we certainly do that. That's for anyone. It's not, wow. Doesn't have to be Quincy Public Schools,
okay.
Students, any child or young adult in the city that needs. So it's really now for pre-kindergarten up to grade 8. That's our focus beginning this week on.
Okay. And for the online learning now, how is that working? Well, you know, I mean, are kids actually going at 8 o'clock in the morning? It's time for my online class. So how does that work?
You know, you're right. It's pretty unique, you know, and I think it's hard to get across, you know, or get your head around the idea that we have created recommended schedules for each and every student from pre-K all the way up to grade 12.
Wow.
So there's recommended schedules. And then the teachers have looked at those schedules and plugged in all of their information.
Okay.
The thing that's very, very different for everyone, teachers, students, parents, is the fact that you don't have to be there at that time. So you can set your classroom, a Google Classroom up, to be on 8:30 to 9 o'clock for a grade 1 student at any school, at the Marymount School. And so they do that. The teacher, you know, is going to check on those children, but could also be preparing while they're doing that another lesson for Wednesday or whatever. So they're going to do that. And it's hard because when you look at the schedule, I think everyone thinks the teacher will be right there at that time.
Right, yeah.
But the teacher can be doing a lot of different things. The flexibility for teachers is very, very good because the reality is they have students at home too, children at home too. Right. So they're trying to manage their household and manage other households. And they've done a nice job. So today was the beginning. And I think it's going pretty well. We haven't really heard anything, which sometimes worries me. You know, no news isn't always great news.
Right.
So we'll talk with principals at the end of today and see what kinds of issues did they have.
Yeah.
And the other thing with remote learning, and I think I mentioned it before, is equity. You know, we have to make sure that our teachers understand as much as possible to personalize it and individualize it, which is very, very difficult when some teachers may have, you know, 150 students, like at high school, you know, so it's difficult to do that, but that's really our job, you know, to make sure that our students understand that we're there for them.
Yeah.
You know? So, and there's different levels, as you know, I mean, so pre-kindergarten and elementary, the balance of all these classes is academics, enrichment, and physical activity. So there's physical activity built into the schedule somewhere, somehow. So that's the balance all the way through. But then when you get to middle school, there's a bit more rigor. And what we're saying to middle schools is you work within the curriculum, reinforce, review for a time, and then move on.
Hmm.
So it becomes real school. But they have to be aware of all of our students, you know, our kids that may struggle with the English language.
Right.
Kids that may struggle with the comfort of curriculum. Today, in order to make sure that our students have everything they need, you know, we're loaning our Chromebook. So Coddington has coned off. So people come in, they've already sent emails through us, through our website.
Mm-hmm.
We have all that information. We get the information, they sign off, and we give them a Chromebook. So there's a lot of families that may not have the technology. There's a lot of families that have maybe three kids and one machine.
Yeah.
And a parent maybe working from home.
Reusing the machine. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of uniquenesses. So what we're trying to do is just be very, very helpful. So I think we'll probably have a list of about 300 students now that are high school students who need it for credit because they're on credit.
Right.
And then the other special education students. Those are our priorities right now.
Sure.
Then we'll go to middle school, you know, and then we'll go to elementary. So
People
have been incredibly patient. The leadership team has set everything up. We worked all day yesterday in cleaning machines, making sure they're all disinfected.
Yes.
Putting them in bags, putting their names on them. So I think people have worked hard, and I think it's a great thing for our families.
Sure. How will kids be graded, Rick, or will they be graded?
Yeah, great question. Again, starting with elementary. No grades, and what we talk about with our teachers is to incentivize, like they always do. You know, in other words, if a child in the Google Classroom, if they take a look and they may be struggling, just something that gives them incentive, you know, great job, try this and this.
Okay.
Those are the kinds of comments, feedback at the elementary. Middle school, again, incentivize. Move on, but no grades.
Okay.
So it really is. So the middle school teachers really have to make these students understand that it's very important to participate when no grade is happening. So a tough job.
Yeah.
And I think, I think most of our students will participate. I'm hoping that it's 100%, but if it's a little less, we'll look at those kids at the elementary middle school level. We'll find out who's not participating, and our guidance people, our psychology people, our deans, our assistant principals will do a major, you know, outreach for those children.
Okay.
And if they don't have a Chromebook, we'll deliver a Chromebook to them. That you would get that out. So that's elementary and middle. High school, quite different.
Mm-hmm.
The guidelines from the Commissioner of Education said you grade, but you grade credit or no credit.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. So it's much more difficult in a sense for the high school teachers and students because there is credit. So they have to make sure they get the material that they need.
Yes.
Right. So teachers are working very, very hard through a lot of platforms that they use. I mean, it can be Aspen, can be Google. And then there's Turnitin. There's a lot of platforms out there that they may be already working with their students on. So it's to their advantage and the students' advantage to stay with that one platform. The wrinkle is that they have four quarters at the high school.
Yep.
March 13th, we closed. The beginning of that quarter three was January 27th. So what we've decided to do was just continue from January 27th, maybe, possibly, most likely, all the way to June.
Okay.
You know, so in other words, it's this big, long stretch, but it gives a lot of students a lot of latitude and time if they weren't doing well in the subject to pick it up, to make up work. But it also makes sense because it's clean. It's not this, okay, now we have to publish grades. Now we have to collect the grades. And I think it's the very best thing for equity, you know, for our kids, the longer we have to get in contact with them. So it's different at every level. And the principals, they know that, their staff knows that, and our parents know that as well. So let's see how it works.
Okay. All right. Any changes recommended from the state regarding graduation requirements because of this? No?
No, nothing really in regard to graduation. I think what they may do is come out with that if indeed on May 1st, if the governor or the commission decides not to have school for the rest of the year, I believe they'll have another set of guidelines that come out, you know, to say what's best for kids. And we know what's best for kids anyway, but they're kind of driving the bus in that regard. So that's not there yet. April vacation is interesting because the state just came out Friday and said, if the April vacation, if the schools, up to the school system, if you want to use April vacation for teaching, you can deduct those days from the last day of school. So Patriots Day is different. That is Patriots Day? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Monday, right? Yep. So the 4 days, the school committee will vote on that. Now, our next school committee meeting, I think Mr. Andronico is talking to school committee, so it certainly may be Monday the 13th.
Okay.
I think that will be on the agenda to vote to say, do we teach through or not teach through? So we'll see what the school committee says, but it may behoove us, in a sense, and our kids and our parents to see if we can get out just a wee bit early. Hopefully this has dissipated for the most part the virus and
right.
People can have a wonderful summer break. They deserve it.
Yeah. So I see. So instead of the 23rd of June, it would be 4 days earlier. Okay.
Correct. Yeah. So we'll see how the school committee feels about that.
Okay. Do you think will have any kind of long lasting effects on public education, Rick, in the future? Not this year, but you know, looking down the road, how will this change the face of public schools?
So really interesting, you know, because all this time missed, you know, you know, someone in front of you and not remotely, may not be the best for some, may be the best for many, many students, especially in high school, you know, but I think for the most part, that reality, that relationship that they have with their teacher, with their principal, with their assistant principal, with their guidance person, is invaluable. That touch will be missed.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we try to do now remotely, you know, talk with the kids, be interactive with the kids. But I think that everyone's pretty much in the same boat. You know, I mean, everyone in Massachusetts is in the same boat, you
right.
know, so sometimes we say, oh, our kids are going to be behind. Well, they're as behind as all the other students. Do I think it's tremendously hurtful in the long run? No, I don't.
Okay.
I really don't. Let's see how graduation works for those seniors that we feel terrible about this, their last year in the Quincy Public Schools. They've been here for all these years and now they fit, you know, they're at the culmination and graduation and their senior prom, all these really wonderful things and great memories. So, I don't know, maybe someday we can, you know, if graduation happens, great. But if it doesn't, maybe there is some other celebration for those students and their parents that will be memorable.
Yeah, and grandparents, of course, too.
Oops. Hey, guess what? You're right. I should remember that, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in some regards, though, you know, this is an education in a different way. This is real life that they're being pulled in.
Yeah. You know, we do some work online it's a program called Acellus, and they can take courses in it. Like if students are way behind or in the summer, if they want to make up a course, you know, they can do it on this Acellus.
Right.
But there's always someone there, you know, there's always a human being there that they can talk with and ask questions to. So, but there will be students that may benefit from remote learning. You know, where we go with that, I don't know, but they really could benefit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything else that we should let folks know about right now?
No, I think, you know, today's a, you know, pretty significant day in the school system with the launch of remote learning and, and that really great blend. And we talked to the principals about consistency, about a curriculum that has those three elements, enrichment, you know, the enrichment, academic, and physical activity, and talk to them about the need for communication. It's almost like relentless communication. And I'm sure, you know, when I send out something, I'm sure the parents are saying, what does he want now? we don't do it unless it's really important. But I think from principals, for teachers, just to keep the contact with our families and our students is absolutely the most critical part of this. And academics, absolutely, enrichment and physical activity, but their consistent communication and connection with our students is what really will make a difference from where we are now and where we will be.
Now, when our students, they know how to access the online curriculum, that's obviously something that they're geared toward.
Yeah, and their links, they're right on their schedule. There's an activity and a link to it, so they can just get on that link. Our students are somewhat way ahead of the game in a way of using these platforms and navigating. And and I think what we're doing, I think what the teachers are doing is making, using what they have.
Yep.
You know, so the student's comfortable, so the parent's comfortable, and they're comfortable in their service delivery.
Yeah, this is really an education for the teachers also, you know, finding ways to teach, you know, and being creative that way too. And
And that's why I think today is really important. I think this week is really important to get through a whole week and then really talk about our effectiveness, you know, how effective have we been with our students and our families. And I know our parents will be talking with our principals about any concerns they have. They certainly can call here.
Sure.
But this will be an important, you know, I say it's an important day, but I think it's an important week to see where we go, especially if we're out until June, which I really don't know. I suspect, but I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are starting to feel that way too, that's what's going to happen in the long run. I think some place in Virginia, I think, has already called school for the year. Yeah. What are you hearing from your colleagues in the greater, you know, Massachusetts area, Braintree, Weymouth?
Very similar thoughts, you know, reaching out as the very, very best they can in different ways, relying on their teachers, their educators to do that connection with students. I think we're all pretty much in the same power. I would say that we're a bit ahead, but that's, I'm the superintendent of schools here, you know, but I think our teachers and our educators are incredibly caring and dedicated. Not that anyone else is not, but I think that shows initially that they understand the thirst that our parents have and our kids have for a connection to them. So I think everyone's pretty much in the same boat.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are situations where I know what they're doing and they know what I'm doing, and we can work with each other and get best practices. If Braintree's doing something that we should be doing, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And I'll let people know that Braintree had it. That doesn't matter. What matters is making a difference with the kids.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking too, where, you know, in families now, even college kids are home. So it might be an opportunity for them to kind of mentor their younger siblings, you know, where they need something to keep going.
Very good point. Very good point. You know, and how about that for parents, you know, to have their students, their students away, their children away. Right. And then all of a sudden, here they are back at home.
Right.
You know, very interesting dynamic.
Yes. Let's see, quincypublicschools.com is the main website, right?
Yes.
Okay, and a good phone number, Rick, for folks?
617-984-8701.
Okay.
You can get me anytime. You can get Laura anytime. You know, and I told school committee, I let school committee know and the public that listen through Quincy Access on channel 22, with the audio. I let them know that I'm here on Saturday and Sunday. I'll be here 9 to 12, Saturday, Sunday, that people can call if they have concerns at all. Please give me a call at that 8701 number, and I'd be glad to give any assistance I can.
Okay. And I know you utilize social media also, the schools do.
Yep. We do Facebook. We're out on Facebook. People can't comment on Facebook, of course, but we're out there on Facebook.
Sure. All right. Anything else, Rick?
Nope. I think that's it.
Okay.
I appreciate it. You know, your time, you know, is really important. I know that. Whether you're home or not, doesn't matter. You're a very busy guy, and you're also a very effective guy. So we appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for saying so. We're trying to keep the community connected as much as possible. So appreciate the opportunity, and we'll chat again.
Yeah, anytime. And if you hear anything, you say, well, maybe I'll call. Rick about, please just do it. Just do it. You have my cell phone, so please call anytime.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
All right. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
All right. You too. You take care, Joe. Thank you very much.